Well, good evening. It's good to be here. When we plan this as a testimony evening, we always plan a speaker in for tonight, thinking that maybe one year nobody will want to say anything. And it's been fantastic tonight to hear people share what God is doing in their lives. So you'll be pleased to know that I'm not going to speak for long. And really, very much of what I'm going to say actually ties together so much of what has already been said. We're at the end of 2013, on the horizon of 2014. And at this time of year, we often pause, we reflect on the year that's been. We maybe begin to sit down and discuss plans for the year ahead, when we're going to take holidays, what we're going to do, when we're going to see family, maybe changes, we're going to move house, whatever it might be. But also at this time of year, people make New Year's resolutions. They're like, some of them maybe I'm going to get fit, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to start a hobby, I'm going to be on time for all those meetings, I'm going to get to church before the service starts. You've got all kinds of New Year's resolutions. But I wonder why we do make resolutions. Why do we? It's a tradition, but why do we do it? And I think some of it is because it makes us feel better. But how long do your resolutions last? Research tells us, we all like that, don't we? Research tells us that 25% don't make it through the first week. I'm usually in that 25%. And only 18% will make it through the whole year with their resolution that they've made. But why do we do it? I think it's because we want a fresh start, a new beginning. We don't like what we've become. And that's often why we say we're going to get fit or we're going to lose weight, because we don't like who we are. And we make these resolutions to change. At the end of a year, sometimes what drives us is because we're unhappy with who we've become. We're unhappy with the way we feel. And I wonder, are you happy tonight with who you are? Who you are physically, who you are spiritually? Do you want to stay like you are? Is there more to life than this? Do you want to move on? Do you want to change? What makes you stick to a resolution if you've made one? I think some of the things that make us stick to anything is support. And we've heard about that tonight. Support when we're struggling. One of the real things that helps us stick to our resolutions is being real. Being honest with ourselves and with others. It's also when others join in. If somebody else says, yeah, I'm going to do that as well, that helps us along with our resolution. But also seeing or feeling the benefit. So if you've made that resolution, as the time goes on, you get that benefit of what you've decided to do. That spurs you on to go further. And making a change is always better when we've got somebody with us to help us walk through that, somebody to walk alongside that. 6 months ago, Graham, myself and Emily joined the gym. I fully expected by the end of July that we weren't going. But here we are, 6 months on, and we're still going. Going between 2 and 3 times a week, which again, I never thought I would do, but we're still going. Why are we still going? Because when I say, do we have to go tonight? Graham says, come on, we're going. Or I go and pick Emily up from college. And Emily now knows my face. My, do you want to go to the gym tonight? Face. Yes, Mum, I do. Okay, we'll go. So I go because we go together. I go because it's fun doing something together. Because when there's 3 of you, hopefully at least 2 of you will say, yes, we're going. So we've kept going. And I think we all agree that making a positive change is good. But we don't always like the process of change. I know I need to get fit, and I know I don't always like the gym, but I know it's good for me. On my board up in the office, there's a quote I found somewhere, and it said, if you do something you know is good for you long enough, you will eventually like it. So I'm hanging in there with the gym. I want to be one of these people that wakes up in the morning and goes, do you know, I need to go for a run today. I haven't been for a run for 2 days. So I'm hanging in there hoping that one day this is going to happen to me. But I'm quite an impatient person when it comes to change. I want it, and I want it now. Immediately. I'm very impatient. I love change, I love transformation, but at my pace. When we see the TV makeover programs, we see that the couple are sent away for a few days, and when they come back, the house is done. It's wonderful. And they simply return, transformation done, job done. And I'm like that with life. I want the quick fix, and I want the easy way through life. And it would be much easier if Jesus would transform us to the people he wants us to be while we're asleep. I really want that. I want to go to bed one night and wake up who Jesus really, really wants me to be. And I think it would be much less painful, I'm sure, if that was a reality. But the reality is that we can't do this with our lives. We have to be part of the process. The decluttering, the renovating, the removing, the redecorating, we all have to be part of that. And sometimes to make a change, we have to go through a complete overhaul. We have to break down to build up. Many of you will know Bob and Nina Woodfield. And if you know them well, you'll have been to their new home over these last 6 months. There's been a lot of breaking down. There's been a lot of remoulding and a lot of changing going on in their house. And every time I've gone, I was like, come on, is it done? No. Because every step of the way, there was another problem. Something else had to be done. And it's been painful for them and for us as we've watched them going through this process. Relay the floor. We can't relay the floor. Why not? There's rot in the boards, so that had to be redone. There was problems with the plumbing, problems with the electricity. Everything took time. But do you know what? I went 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. The house looks fantastic. The kitchen and the lounge are finished. The process is done and it looks great. It was worth the wait. And if they just skimmed over these rotten floorboards, it wouldn't have worked in the end. It needed redoing. Sometimes it seems like too much hassle to change. So we think, oh, I'll stay as I am. I'll stay the way I am. But do you know what? A room that isn't used gathers dust. Our son left home earlier this year, and I cleared his room and shut the door. Because I'm a soft mum and I miss him, I go back in quite a lot. And I've noticed how much dust gathers in a room that's got nothing in it other than his bed and a wardrobe, but it gathers dust. Change is good for us. A pond that has no water flowing through it soon stagnates. It needs the changing water. Change is right. But change is something that we fear, but it can be so good. And we're just going to briefly look at two women in Scripture whom had life-changing encounters, but at a cost. Read in Matthew 9, 20 to 22. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And at that moment, she was healed. This poor woman had been in the same situation for 12 years. Can you imagine that? The same stigma, the same restrictions for 12 years. And she finally decided to do something about it. In her situation, she was seen as unclean. She was an outcast. She shouldn't go and mix with people. And she certainly shouldn't see and go to a man and touch a man. So bearing all that in mind, what does she do? She goes out in public. She approaches Jesus, a man. And she tries to be discreet and touch his robe. But instantly, Jesus knew that somebody had touched him. This woman made herself vulnerable. She took a risk, but it paid off. She was instantly healed. Her life was changed. That was a great new beginning for her. And imagine how her life was changed. The second lady we read of in John 4, 5 to 26. It's a story that I'm sure is familiar to many of you. It's where the woman goes to the well. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, Go to your husband. Call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you're now with is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We call what we do not know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I am the one speaking to you. I am here." So here we have a woman who was obviously so ashamed of what she was and who she was and what she'd done. And she comes at the height of the day, in the high heat of the noonday, to draw water, hoping that no one would see her. And yet she meets this man who knows all about her. What an extraordinary situation she found herself in. She shouldn't be speaking to a man. Her, a Samaritan, shouldn't be associated with a Jew. It must have been very awkward. Yet when she was questioned, she told the truth. She made herself very vulnerable in that conversation as she spoke with Jesus. But then we read on. "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many of them became believers. Her new beginning had a massive ripple effect. We know about her. It said there, because of the woman's testimony, many of the Samaritans in that town believed. She made herself vulnerable. She put herself in that position. And others believed because of her story. That had a knock-on effect. What about our new start? What's holding you back? What's holding me back? What are our restrictions? Is it others' opinions? So often we think of what others might think of us, just as she thought about what others might think of her going to the well. She went, she didn't want to be seen. What are the things that hold us back from doing something? Is it others' opinions? Is it tradition? Are we willing to make ourselves vulnerable and willing to be being used? Put ourselves in these positions where we can have this new beginning. Every small step or faltering shuffle is a move forward. We always think we should be taking massive leaps and bounds, but actually, as long as we're moving forward, we're moving. So often we know that we need to change and to move on, but we're afraid and we get held back. Fear holds us back so much from doing so many things. So often you hear people doing these bungee jumps and things like that, and they say, I wish I'd done it sooner. It was fantastic, but fear held them back. Is fear holding you back from doing something that would be just so amazing, such a blessing, but fear is holding you back at this time? There's so many great scriptures to encourage us as we go forward into a new year. In Lamentations 3, 21 to 23, we read, yet this is I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They're new each day. Every one of us gets a new start to a new day. And God's grace and his mercy are there for us. We're also a new creation. We read in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We've got a new chance. We're right at the beginning of a new year. A new chance to say, right, let's wipe the slate clean. I am a new creation. The old is gone. It's been and gone. It's dealt with. We've got this new chance. We're a new creation. Then we read great words in Isaiah 43. God is doing something new in us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You might think, I am so glad to end 2013. I was in the wilderness and the wastelands. But God is saying, see, I am doing a new thing. We've got a new year and a new opportunity. I've always said I would, one day I will get a sweatshirt printed with this on it. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. I am a work in progress. And we read in Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're a work in progress, and he who begun this work will bring it to completion. And again in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, we read, God is faithful, he will do it. What God has begun in each one of us, he will bring it to fruition. He will bring it to completion. We've got such an amazing opportunity as we stand on the edge of a new year to say, right, God, 2014 is my year. I'm going to move on in 2014 with you. So what's holding you back from being all God wants you to be in 2014? How will you respond to what God is saying to you? We've heard great testimonies tonight of what God has done in this last year. Maybe this time next year, could you be up here sharing what God has done in you and through you? How will you respond to what God is asking you to do personally? We're looking as a church into moving beyond our walls. What is God asking us to do corporately as a church together? If we're to follow in his footsteps and achieve all that he's planned for us, we all need to be listening to him and responding to him. So often we listen and we say, yeah, God, I'll do that. But actually, we don't go and make those first steps. The number of times I've sat at home and said, yeah, I think I'll go to the gym. And I found, you know, unless you actually go, nothing happens. You've got to go, you've got to get down there and put the effort in and do the work. And so if we're saying to God, yeah, I want to do that, God, I want to move forward with you, we've got to get on and take action and do it. Savannah read from John 10:10. Jesus has come that we might have life and life in all its fullness. It wasn't meant to be any other way. We were meant to have full lives, exciting lives, great lives, blessed lives. God said, I've come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. But what's holding us back? We read in Hebrews 12, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. What's hindering us? What's holding us back from going forward with God. Maybe we need to just have a look at our lives, ourselves, and just see what's holding us back and be real and say, right, that needs to go. We're encouraged to go for it, to get rid of what's holding us back. Fix our eyes on the one who can help us. It's no good saying I can do it on my own. I can do it with his help. He is there and wants to see us through. And to move on, we may have to go through some transitions. They may be painful, they may be uncomfortable. But we read, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. We can move forward together. We can move on. Is God doing a new thing in you? And will you let him do something new as we move into a new year? A good time to make a good resolution and know that he is with us as we move forward. In Proverbs we read, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We may have plans for this next year. You may have already filled out your calendar for 2014. But the best plans we can have as we look into a new year is to say to God, there's 2014. Do with it, do with me what you will. And if we walk in his ways, his paths, he will bless us and we will know his peace and we will know his presence. So if our resolution is to be all God wants us to be in 2014, we need to decide that together and support each other. The folks that have shared tonight have shared how in different situations God has blessed them. Folks have stood alongside them. They've been blessed and encouraged by being part of a church fellowship. We are so, so blessed to be part of this church here. And I love it when I hear and see you being a caring community, supporting each other, praying, encouraging with scripture and writing to each other. We need to do more of that. If we're to stick to being all God wants us to be, we need to walk with each other. We need to encourage. We need to bless each other. We need to be honest and we need to be open and we need to be real, which are not always the easiest of things because that means making ourselves vulnerable. But we saw how these ladies were really blessed when they made themselves vulnerable to God because he blessed their lives. He intervened in their lives and their lives were changed. And just as we heard from Nick this morning, if our lives are changed and we're willing to share that story with others, others' lives will be changed as well. So take up that challenge as we move into a new year. Can we be all God wants us to be in 2014? Or are we going to miss out because we weren't making ourselves available? We weren't willing to let him come and to let him change us so that we could be who he wants us to be individually and as a church. We've all got our part to play. So let's just pray and give this year to God. Lord, we thank you that you are an amazing God. We thank you that you have got plans for each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you've given each one of us talents and gifts to be used for your glory. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us as we begin this new year, as we maybe begin to wipe the slate clean and start again. That, Lord, we would know your forgiveness as we come and confess all that we've done wrong. Lord, we would know your love and your mercy each morning. Lord, we would know that we've got, can rely on you and your strength for each and every day. And Lord, we pray that we would look back on this year and see that it was a year where we became more like you. See that it was a year when we made ourselves available to you and to be being used by you for your glory. Lord, we give you ourselves. And we say, come and change us, come and shape us, come and mould us to be who you want us to be. Lord, may our lives touch others and may they be blessed, may they be inspired, and may they find you because of the lives that we live. Lord, we give you this year and pray your rich blessing on our lives and on those we touch. In Jesus' name, amen.